are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Friday edition of the show alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. It's episode 4 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Radio.com, you name it. We are available on all platforms. We've done 3 other shows this week that you can get into. Gino did a Senior Bowl preview on the offensive side of the football. I got into the Eagles' hire of quarterback coach Brian Johnson on Wednesday and how that ties into the decision at quarterback between Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts. Does that mean something, bringing in Johnson? Does it mean nothing at all? I dug into that, as well as on Monday, the coaching staff is starting to take form. Nick Sirianni filling out his assistant positions, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, quarterback coach, you name it, he is filling it up. Offensive line coach Jeff Stoutland is staying as well, so we got into that on Monday. And then on today's edition of the show, we're going to continue with that theme of talking about the coaches and talking about the quarterbacks, because those are the two big things that are going to get this team back on track in 2021, or it's going to really push them off the rails. And Nick Sirianni was officially and finally introduced today as the Eagles head coach. Gino, initial takeaways. I thought, look, it was a brutal hour of press conferences. Mostly, I was just annoyed at having to listen to Jeffrey Lurie just talk about nonsense, just nothing that weighed anything for 15 to 20 minutes. I'm trying to get to Sirianni, and Lurie just would not stop talking. So it was kind of frustrating. And for Sirianni, he was a little nervous, but I thought he said some good things, not anything that carried a lot of weight, not what people wanted. They wanted quarterback answers. But at the same time, I liked what I heard from Sirianni, but it was the Jeffrey Lurie part that was like, man, what a waste of time.
I think if you're going to take anything away from what Jeffrey had to say, it's how he wanted to build this offense and the reason why. And I liked how he got into the whole selection process. That was a cool little behind the scenes of how they actually went about doing it and hearing how long their interviews actually are. 7 to 10 hours in an interview, can we say it? That's crazy. I mean, that
dude,
has to be
30 minutes feels like a long time for me in an
interview.
That's
insane. The first time I ever interviewed for a job, I had to interview with 5 people back to back to back, and it took maybe an hour total. I couldn't imagine 7 to 10 hours.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. It's a whole work shift.
Yeah, but the thing is, Lou, when you're making a decision like this, you really have to find out who that person is. So it was nice to hear that from Jeffrey. And it was definitely a better press conference than Doug Peterson delivered by Nick Sirianni, I would say. The thing with Nick is you knew he wasn't going to get into personnel, but I believe the 5 building blocks that he wants to build this team on is what you have to look at above everything else. Connect and trust, compete with each other, accountability, playing smart football, and fundamentals. How many times on this show in the past 2.5 years, Lou, have we said that the Eagles have gone against many of those principles? They've played dumb football at times. They weren't holding people accountable. They weren't competing, and they weren't trusting each other. This seems like a complete 180 from the locker room structure and the locker room character and the whole culture that we had just a few short months ago, and it seems like it was totally divided. When I heard Nick Sirianni, I was ready to get up and run through a wall, man. Like, how he talked about connecting with players, that's something that we've wanted so long in a coach, and we saw
We can't argue. I mean, Doug Peterson connected with – I mean, Doug Peterson was a great coach in that area, though. I think Chip Kelly was the problem there. I thought had a great grasp of the locker room. That's why they were able to go from 4-6 in 2018 to make the playoffs and 5-7 in 2019. So I don't want to think that's a negative, though, spin on Doug.
But would you say that he did not hold people accountable?
But I think my issue with accountability was more on Jim Schwartz than anything. But yeah, I think he was more of a laissez-faire kind of head coach. Yep. I think he let the players dictate the culture. So maybe at times that led to a lack of accountability. But at the same time, I don't know. I do get what you're saying, and I like it in a positive light for Sirianni, but I don't want to make it seem like Doug Peterson never did that through 5 years.
I mean, he did to an extent, and you see what happened the last couple months. I think the whole thing with Carson Wentz, that is not something you want to see between a head coach and a quarterback. hopefully we can get one of these guys back on track, preferably Carson. But what he had to say about evaluating all the positions, seeing what those guys do well. I mean, my scouting academy ears perked up as soon as he said that. And that's exactly what you want. And saying that he wants to be involved in the selection of bringing in players, that is exactly what you want to hear. And I love that he called out Howie Roseman and said that he wants to work with him, because if they don't work together, we all know who the onus is on. It's on Howie Roseman. I think that was a nice little underlying chirp that he threw in there. Not that it was disrespectful towards Howie or anything.
You better be careful, man. Howie is he can't be fired here.
I know. We'll see, though. We know he's on his last legs. But the biggest thing that I heard out of that, Lou, was how he talked about that he wanted to play in multiple different schemes on offense. He didn't want to just limit himself to one scheme, and talking about how he played with three different quarterbacks in the last 3 years and how he had to evolve all those game plans. Mm-hmm. That's music to our ears, because you really need to encapsulate what players do well. And I think they got away from that with Wentz after that back injury. You saw right away in 18 how he was a statue, and same with 19, and it took them forever to get him outside the pocket in 2020. And I frankly don't think they did that enough. And I just used the word frankly, and I'm going to catch that every time I say that from now on.
But, you know, it's funny. I wrote even down the same thing, that Sirianni didn't say a whole lot, but I liked what he said about molding his scheme to the player's strengths and how each week it was going to be different. And I love that he used Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, and Philip Rivers as an example, because those are three quarterbacks with very different skill sets. Philip Rivers is a statue in the pocket. He is someone they don't even use for quarterback sneaks, whereas Andrew Luck is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. So that's what I liked, is that he came in with an open mind. He's not coming in with a set scheme or culture. He's going to let the players form that. Mm-hmm. And that was the big issue with, I think, specifically Chip Kelly, was when he came in 2013, he had a set idea of what his offense was going to look like, and there was no budging on that. It didn't matter what kind of player you were. You know, it didn't matter if you were Sam Bradford or Michael Vick. It was going to be the same style of offense, and that is the opposite with Sirianni. So I was very encouraged as well to hear that, because you know, you got to adapt or die in the NFL, and I love that open mindset that he had coming in today.
And when he talked about how he draws things from all his different head coaches, that's another aspect. And you want to take the best from those great individuals around you. And to hear him mention his old college coach and how he went into his hospital room the day before they were playing a game, and or the day of a game, and Sirianni was injured, and he went and just said that they're going to miss him out there, and having that genuine connection with players, he talked about it. You will get players to play harder for you on Sundays. When you guys all bond together Monday through Saturday, Sunday comes easy. And when you do the fundamentals, and when you're in there studying film, and you're smart, and you connect with each other on a genuine level, you've seen the magic of what it can do when teams play together. The 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. If you can get back to that and just playing hard, it will overcome a lot of those holes on the roster and those holes in play calling and those holes in personnel. So just getting to that level where it's exciting to play. And you look at that Indy defense last year, and I love what he talked about bringing in Gannon, and you just saw how excited those guys were every single week to play on defense. I miss that, Lou. I miss that Jim Johnson style defense where regardless of what the outcome was, you knew those guys were going to be flying around. And it's been quite some time since we've seen that on both offense and defense. So I'm ready to get back to that athleticism. Get younger, get smarter, do the fundamentals. I loved what I had to hear from Sirianni and how he's going to build this culture of this team.
Before we take a break and get into what he said about quarterback or what he really didn't say, I do want to touch on the nervousness that it sounded like Sirianni had at the press conference. And some people were talking about it on Twitter. And I don't know, for Gino, I think you can agree with me here and you can relate to this. As somebody that gets nervous about pretty much everything, especially talking in front of 60 reporters, and as someone that watched, as you mentioned, Doug Peterson talk to the media in 2016, let me tell you right now what he felt today and how he wasn't very, like, clearly he was new to the press conference. Mm-hmm. He wasn't overly, you know, well-spoken. I thought what he said carried a lot of weight, or at least I liked the actual substance of what he said. But the delivery, he was nervous. And let me tell you one thing, though. I can say from personal experience and from watching Doug Peterson in 2016, who was a train wreck with press conferences, it does not impact your ability to do the job.
No, totally. And coming into this type of media, I think he knows that. He's only 39 years old. He's never had this responsibility. I would be nervous as heck.
And it's maybe the most unforgiving media market, Gino, in the NFL. Would you agree?
I'm still nervous to come onto the show every day. Yeah, anxiety's a son of a gun. Get your mental health right. And I feel for Nick Sirianni. And I believe that he had a better press conference than Doug Peterson's first time around. I thought Doug was super awkward in his first press conference.
Oh, yeah. The whole year of 2016, he was awkward.
Right. And I looked at that press conference today, Lou, and I kind of stepped back for a second and I said, what would this press conference have been like if Josh McDaniels was the selection? I don't think it would have had that essence of compatibility between coaches.
It would have been real braggadocious and egotistical.
Yeah, and that's the thing I like when I hear Sirianni talk, is that you feel the genuineness in his voice. And he was a D3 player, never had the build to be a D1 athlete, worked his butt off, came back from injury, has gone through several coaching staffs and successful coaching staffs at that, Lou. And is a guy that I think you and I, being from Western New York, we've always had that mentality that he's been against the odds, I feel. And he really fits that underdog narrative. And of course, that clown Mike Lombardi had something to say about him. And I'm on Sirianni's side, and I like what he has to say. I like the staff that he's putting together. I believe all the coaches that he's bringing in, Lou, especially the decision to bring in the quarterbacks coach from the offensive coordinator from Florida, he's bringing in guys that have these mindsets of improving the overall offensive landscape of a team in both the offensive ranks and the college ranks. And I think that's, for you and I, a relieving feeling that it isn't this recycled coordinator type feel. It isn't what Detroit is doing right now, hiring Anthony Lynn and Deuce Staley and Dave Phipp. I think that's a recipe for disaster almost. This is something that you've never seen, this recipe. You can have maybe the special of the day or the special of the week, this next Sean McVay coaching tree almost, where all these guys are getting interviews the year after you bring them onto your staff. If you look at Zach Taylor and all the other coaches that have come from McVay's staff, I like where he's come from. I like the message that he's putting forward. And this staff and his ideologies on building a culture, Lou, right now he's checking all the boxes for me. And until we see what he can do on the field, he's doing everything right when it comes to answering the questions.
Coming up next on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, we'll get into what Sirianni said about the quarterback position. He was asked about Carson Wentz, committing to him as a starter. Is there an open competition with Jalen Hurts? Me and Gino will get into that next right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's show is sponsored by TurboTax. You're one of a kind, and so are your taxes. That's why TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process, since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Or maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert while you perfect your banana bread recipe. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live tax experts are here to help you and give you the confidence to know that your one-of-a-kind, uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. Guys, today's show is also sponsored by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. You've got 18 amazing flavors. We've got 6 new ones: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. And guess what though? It's soft, easy to chew, delicious, and it's covered in 100% chocolate. 180 calories, 19 grams of protein in every bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. And you're going to get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Friday edition of your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri recapping new Philadelphia Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference. We got into Sirianni talking about, you know, the culture, Gino, and how open-minded he is with his scheme and molding it to the strengths of his players. And he talked about how he's been able to adapt with different styles of quarterbacks, which I love to hear. Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Philip Rivers. Let's dive into now what he continued to say about quarterback, because that was the theme of all the questions that the media asked. And it's fair, right? These are the questions you have to ask. It's the biggest decision the Eagles have had to make since trading up for Carson Wentz in 2016 between what they're going to do with Carson, what they're going to do with Jalen Hurts, their 2019-2020 second round draft pick, what they're going to do with the sixth overall draft pick. You can't ignore that aspect either, with potentially a prospect like Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, or Trey Lance on the board. The Eagles don't pick in the top 10 barely ever. It's been, what, twice in the last decade, and once it was in 2016 because they traded up. So that is the elephant in the room. That is the theme of this offseason, is what they do at quarterback. However, as predicted, nothing was said today about quarterback. They were close to the vest. They weren't going to give out any information about what their plans were, committing to Carson Wentz, committing to Jalen Hurts, committing to an open quarterback competition. When he was asked if Carson Wentz was the guy, he really wouldn't say. When asked if there was going to be an open competition, he wouldn't say. The media tried every different angle. They even asked if both would be there in 2021, Wentz and Jalen Hurts, and Sirianni wasn't budging. So, Gino, this team clearly doesn't want to divulge anything about their plans, or maybe they don't know what their plans are yet.
When I was coming back from the CGS, I was on a kick of some old school hip hop, and one great song by Biggie Smalls has the line, "Real G's move in silence." I think that's a great way to look at it. I mean, you look at what we've seen the last 2 years with the anonymous sources and Doug Peterson tripping over his feet, naming a quarterback. For once, not hearing anything to me is relieving.
Yeah, it was a nice change of pace.
It was a nice change of pace, because when it comes to it, we'll see in the next few weeks what happens. And guys can say whatever they want. And if you watched any of the Senior Bowl practices this week, Matt Rhule had a great quote saying that you could say yes, sir, all day, but go out there and show me that you can actually do it. And that's what I want to see out of Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman this year. Don't just say what you're going to do. Actually go and put a plan together and execute on it. Because if they trade Jalen Hurts, Lou, we know what the plan is. If they trade Carson Wentz, we know what the plan is. But divulging any information and giving up any leverage on either of these players, if you are to get rid of them, if you are to trade them, if you are to want to get them back on track, why would you give a team the benefit of the doubt to game plan for you in January when you could keep them on the edge of their toes for a few more months? I mean, just to me, from a planning perspective, this is the way to go about things. Don't just say things to say things. Say you're going to evaluate the talent, which they did. Say you're going to see what these players' strengths are, which he did. And not just for the quarterback position, Jalen Reagor as well. I mean, there was a comment on him, but he also said he's going to go and evaluate the talent, and that's what you have to do. This is completely new to Nick Sirianni. He just can't make a decision just to make it. They have to go through everything, watch every snap that Carson's made, have thorough discussions with Carson, have thorough discussions with Jalen, have thorough discussions with Howie and Jeffrey Lurie, which they probably had during the interview process. And we saw the quotes that came out and said, how are you going to fix Carson, was one of the main questions in those interviews. To me, I don't mind them not saying anything today, because it would just speculate things even more if somebody were to come out and say something. I'm sure they have a plan, but there's no reason to expose your plans when, I mean, you can just keep it in your back pocket until the time comes to actually act on it.
Yeah, I think they do have a – I would predict probably more likely than not that they have a plan at quarterback. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, they might not have an answer because they don't know yet, because it might be still up to Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz might still not know if he wants to be back in Philadelphia. So there's moving pieces to this still. People are looking into it both ways. Some think them not committing to Wentz today as the starter or even being in Philly this year means it's an open competition or he's going to be traded. Some think them not committing to an open competition means they already know who their guy is. Look, I don't want to read too much into it because, again, there's really nothing to take from this press conference. Mm-hmm. They were extremely tight-lipped. They didn't give you any kind of hints. But if I had to choose one of those two options I laid down, if I'm reading too much into it, just for the sake of this discussion, I'll read too much into it. If I had to choose one that I think is more likely, what their thought process is right now, I'd say they know at least who they want to be the guy. But it would be a bad look, Gino, in January at an introductory press conference, if Nick Sirianni walked in before even talking to these guys in person, before even evaluating them, especially considering both are still on the team. I don't think I think it'd be a bad look to just say, even as much as I want Carson Wentz to be the guy and I want them to commit to fixing him and try to trade Jalen Hurts, you're not going to say that in your first press conference with both guys still in house. You're not going to do that.
No, and I don't believe that any time we've heard Sirianni talk that he's under that presumption that he wants to be a Carson or Jalen guy. He wants to build the team to the best of his ability because it's his job on the line now too. Doug Peterson was tied to Carson Wentz. He cut that rope and you saw what happened. Now Sirianni has his decision to make, and this is arguably the biggest decision of his entire career. So why would he do that? And you hear how he talks about how he wants to get to know these guys and know them as people outside of just the game. That would go against everything he said today to do that, because it would break that trust of a player before you even got to know him. And the old adage of not judging a book by its cover, in this league it's so true, Lou, because you see the coaches that get their guys to play for them, and then the Josh McDanielses of the world and the Chip Kellys of the world that, I mean, they don't have a ton of head coaching jobs because they cannot connect with those players. Chip is back in the NCAA, and Josh McDaniels has now been passed up on how many different coaching cycles. So for me, that's a big move for Sirianni. He didn't break his moral code. I don't think the franchise is tipping their hand at all. They're sitting at the poker table with their sunglasses on and their earbuds in, and they're not moving. Why would they move? Why would they show any of their moves? Why would they show their hand in this position? And why would they break the trust of anybody who they currently have in that building, Lou? You're right. They're both Philadelphia Eagles currently. You can't get off on a bad foot with any of these guys. So to say what you said today, and I think saying that you want to evaluate them to put them in a better position, is doing right by the player and doing what you should do as a coach. So for me, what Sirianni said today, what Jeffrey Lurie said, not saying nothing, was the right thing to say, in my opinion.
Guys, we want to give another shout out to one of our sponsors. It's betonline.ag. We've got Super Bowl 55 coming up in just a week. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Get your bets in at the one place that has you covered and the one place that we trust. Betonline.ag. Betonline.ag has everything from parlays, team bets, player props, you name it, futures. Everything is available at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and use that promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for your 50% off welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Again, don't forget to use the promo code, though, LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Eagles fans, we are wrapping up this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. Again, though, be sure to subscribe to LOE on any podcast platform, because we had three other podcasts we recorded this week, and we'll have another one dropping for you tomorrow. Five podcasts a week downloaded into your phone. There's no other Eagles podcast out there that's posting as much content as Gino and I. We're continuing today to recap Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference as the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And Gino, I really liked what you said in segment two about the tight lips here during this press conference. The journalist
loose in me lips sink ships. Come on, yep, man. Yep, I'll have all the references.
Today, I love it. The journalist in me hates it because I like content. I like when people say stuff because it gives us stuff to talk about, right? That's just our nature. We want content. It's more fun that way. But the Eagles guy in me that wants this team to succeed thinks this needs to be the approach more, because there's been too many times, man, since 2018 that things get leaked way too easily. Now, I'm skeptical that as long as Howie Roseman's GM, that's going to maybe continue to happen. But I love today that Sirianni really wasn't budging on giving out any sort of information. And that needs to be the way it is more, because in Philly, it's just way too easy to get out information and a lot of information of substance when it comes to bashing teammates and, you know, criticizing the general manager. Remember in 2018 for not going out and trading for Jalen Ramsey. There's just too much stuff that gets handled through the media. And that's what always bothered me. There needs to be things that are handled in-house better. Again, the journalist in me has loved that content the last 3 years, but the Eagle fan in me that wants this team to succeed, it drove me up a wall.
Yeah, even looking at it, not from a fan perspective, but an overall understanding of the National Football League, look at the teams that things come out and you hear things in the media. I mean, to hear it in Philly was weird, Lou, to me. I mean, it's always been one of those wrapped up organizations, you know. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, for example, with the whole Antonio Brown thing. Nobody had any idea about that until it was over with. And in Philly, to hear these anonymous sources, the culture was clearly broken. There was a mole in the mix, and there was a leak in the Titanic, and it was going down, and it did go down. And right now we're building this team back up. So why would you automatically take a drill and drill a hole in the boat and say something that will be divisive? And I love Jeffrey said to intro that when everything is divisive and everything is polarizing in this society, we have to come together. And what better place to do that than a football team? And I don't want a team that's fractured. I want a team that's going to look to the guy next to them and play for one another. In every sport, every team I'm a fan of, you could tell there were times that the Eagles were not giving 100% the last 2 years. And I don't think anybody's going to deny that. I mean, to go 4-11-1 to tie the Cincinnati Bengals, which were one of the worst teams in the league, that team was not the team we knew in 2017. I want that 2017 Eagles team. I want that 2009 Eagles team. I want that early 2000s Eagles team. Those teams that played together, played for their coordinator, their skill sets were put on the field to the best of their ability, and they were put in a position to win. And here we are again, Lou. We have this chance to build up this team in that manner. And what Sirianni said today, what Jeffrey Lurie said today, thank goodness they're not letting Howie Roseman talk, because he would add all sorts of different speculation to this mix.
True.
Right now, they're doing things the right way, Lou. And I know you want to be writing away and talking away. You're the media guy in this whole thing. But my evaluation side of things, this is how you want your team to be built. You don't want to be the Jets. You don't want to be the Giants, where things are coming out and you have all these headaches. Or the Golden Tate situation, for example, in New York. You don't want that anymore. You want to build this team under the Philly mantra that they're a bunch of underdogs that nobody likes, but you know who likes each other? The guys wearing the midnight green, and that's how you're going to win in this league.
Great way to put it, Gino. I think that's a perfect way to end today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Again, though, we will be back tomorrow for Episode 5, so subscribe on any podcast platform. It can be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, you name it. Me and Gino are available, and we're always talking on Twitter after the show as well. Follow us at Lockdown Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E. Gino, let's get your handle in there before we wrap up.
Yeah, at GC_football on Twitter, guys. We're promoting the Senior Bowl this week.
Yes, sir.
I've literally bookmarked over 200 plays. Their rivals put some film out on YouTube, so go watch it. There are some playmakers in this class that we're going to be talking about. The game's tomorrow. Check it out. I think it's 2:00 Eastern, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So make sure you guys are watching, and we'll always be on Twitter talking football. You know where to find us.
For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, Locked On Eagles. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.